but now I've got no legs at all. They were both shot away by a cannonball to me rudumda.
The shot that began the Revolutionary War of Independence for the 13 colonies that would become the United States of America was heard round the world, they say. And there have been many shots and explosions since. History's timeline marked off in cannon shot. This song came out of the War of 1812, and it's still with us, of course, the song anyway. On the map of America, battlefields and craters overgrown with grass and wildflowers, Gettysburg, Antietam, Chickamauga, the Civil War's story told in spent shells and artillery. If we could leave the earth and look down at just those places where the rockets fired and the bombs burst in the air and on the ground, bombs with an American return address, what would we see? World War I?
Waltzing Matilda, Waltzing Matilda, you.
United States troops close in on the cold, barren island of Amchitka in the Aleutians.
The air war in World War II, the power that turned the tide.
21 days after the New Mexico dress rehearsal, a lone B-29 was over Hiroshima, carrying an atomic bomb.
And in our official accounts, the bombs that ended the war more than 65 years ago this week. From then on, the military power of the USA has been largely delivered as air freight. Bombs over Korea.
Carrier planes are ready for another strike on inland targets. Rockets are of particular interest at this time.
The United States has resumed full-scale bombing of North Vietnam, including the Hanoi Haiphong area.
Bombs over Vietnam and Indochina. Serbia in the 90s. Shock and awe in Iraq in 2003. More shots heard around the world. For planet Earth over the past century, perhaps there isn't much shock or awe left in the impulse of U.S. air power delivering bombs in far-flung battle zones. The history of U.S. air supremacy has been told in many ways. But one enterprising Air Force Lieutenant Colonel is retelling this story, and for the first time, we may get the complete picture.
Thor is the god of thunder, which is the sound of a jet going overhead, and also his hammer is an iron hammer that strikes unerringly at its target. So that to us sort of spoke to the whole story of air power.
Thor, that's Theater History of Operations Report, the acronym of a now official U.S. Air Force project to document each and every bomb that the U.S. has ever dropped. It's the inspiration of 45-year-old Minnesota native and Lieutenant Colonel Jens Robertson. 6 years of digging, 10,000 pages of handwritten and typed World War II papers, and many nights sitting in front of unearthed World War I raid reports. The planetary footprint in bombs and bomb craters of the United States and its allies comes into focus. We talked with Lieutenant Colonel Robertson from the studios of WVAS in Montgomery, Alabama. He says Thor tells the story of U.S. air power and its limits.
I did not know until I started doing this that we had air power, both U.S. and British, bombing at El Alamein.
And that's near the Battle of Tobruk. Is that in Libya or North Africa?
We're on the edge of the Egyptian-Libyan border. And then Tobruk is another battle, actually several battles, further west. And through Thor, we were able to find that there was actually a good deal of bombing just 6 to 12 hours before that big breakout at the Battle of El Alamein, where we went right to the center of the German tank lines with aircraft, bombing the dickens out of them.
So this started a little bit as, I wish we had some central location for the questions these top brass are constantly asking me all the time. And you decided to put one together, and it's gotten to be something much, much bigger.
Yes. Once we answered the questions for the current conflict, we started realizing there's a larger baseline of data out there, and that how we solve these same problems in previous conflicts could directly affect our planning and execution for the current conflicts or for future conflicts.
So what is the civilian use for this information? And I know that this is taking place inside the Air Force, but do you have a broader intent for who might use this database?
Well, there's a general curiosity of trying to understand what air power is and what it does. And one of the challenges with air power is it's inherently nonlinear. We don't have it necessarily a battlefront like you do on the ground. We can go almost anywhere into any location on a day-by-day basis or hour-by-hour. We can change where we're attacking and when. And that great flexibility and capability makes it very difficult to try to explain what happens with air power. So when respect is an outreach tool to allow people to understand how air power works and how it can be used. On another perspective, we have the ability to provide this information to the State Department and to mine cleanup and unexploded ordnance cleanup over in Laos and Cambodia and all of Southeast Asia. So the bombs that we dropped back then, the ones that didn't explode, are still a threat to the people there now. And we're able to provide that information of where we dropped those bombs so that they can help focus their cleanup efforts and prevent injuries to current civilians.
You know, I don't want to sound like a flake here, Colonel, but I'm just wondering, since you have such a unique perspective, a kind of a big picture, do you ever get the feeling, man, we're just bombing everything?
Actually, it isn't. People may go in thinking that's the case, but I've grown up hearing stories of carpet bombing and all this kind of stuff. The fact is, it's very difficult to get the aircraft with the bombs over the target you need, and you don't have a luxury of aircraft at any time in history. So you actually find out, as I've been doing this, that we've actually been bombing relatively precisely, precise more a factor of the technology of the day. In World War II, it was about a mile square. That you only used air power and you only bombed what you had to. So there, you didn't really have bombing everything. You bombed specific locations. Now, there's a lot of specific locations, but you bomb specific locations around the area that you needed to do to try to hit the targets to damage the enemy. So it's not quite as indiscriminate as it might be portrayed in the press.
Well, I'm not so much thinking about indiscriminacy, because certainly the ethos of precision bombing goes way, way back in military history, and the U.S., I think, steadfastly tries to follow that. It's more just the absolute tonnage. I mean, it just, does it amaze you how?
Oh, absolutely. There's
good Lord.
The stuff in World War II is I think truly phenomenal. I mean, Vietnam, there was lots of bombs dropped as well. In the Battle of Khe Sanh, from January to June 1968, to defend that fire base there at Khe Sanh, I believe we dropped somewhere in the range of around 92,000 tons of bombs.
Wow.
Put that in perspective, so Nagasaki was about 20,000 tons, so 20 kilotons. At Khe Sanh, it was 98,000 tons, or just shy of about five Nagasakis in conventional weapons.
You know, John McCain, of course, a naval aviator who was captured after his plane crashed behind enemy lines during the Vietnam conflict. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes, and at least in the broad strokes.
Yeah, and he's talked about this. Other aviators have talked about this, and others who've been critical of the Air Force have talked about this, that there's this kind of dislocation between the bombing of targets from the air, where it's easy to be very, very abstract about the places that the bombs are hitting, and, of course, the damage that's done very, very close up on the ground. Do you have a sense of that dislocation? Do you ever think to yourself, I wonder what was on that street corner, or what used to be there before the bombs fell, that kind of thing? How does it change your perspective about what it is the Air Force is doing?
I see it from a certain different perspective. After going through line by line by line of all these records, I've got a different perspective on how difficult the job is that the aviators had to do and the courage and bravery they had to do their job. I'll just give you one quick example. B-57s. B-57 is a bomber we used in Vietnam.
Right.
66 feet long, 66 feet wide. And I found what it looked like an anomaly in the data using surrounding B-57s, and that was they were flying at about 100 feet above the ground at about 400 knots, which is very low and extremely fast. And they were flying in canyons, in some cases, that were only about 120 feet wide, and they're doing this, in some cases, at night. And I'm asking myself, why are they doing this, flying so fast, so low, in this tight space, and they're dropping a 500-pound bomb? And you would look at that and go, but you'd be hit by your own bomb fragments when you let that go, so why are they doing this? And it turns out that they're flying down these tight little canyons with these weapons to go after anti-aircraft guns that are being trained against them by North Vietnamese. They're flying low to stay under the gun. And basically, they fly at high speed this low. Now, the trees are 80 feet tall, so they're only about 20 feet above the trees.
Oh, my goodness.
And right as they get approach the target, they basically stand on their tail and do a vertical climb at 4 Gs and lob the bomb at the anti-aircraft gun. Very effective maneuver, but you know, you're talking about just steel will on these individuals to do that.
Sure.
And it, really, if you look at it, this is basically Luke Skywalker in the Death Star trench.
I got it. I got the image. Finally,
yeah.
Before we go, is there anything that just was kind of a mind-blowing surprise to you that in the database? I mean, for instance, you didn't discover, like, you know, Kangaroo Cove, Australia, was actually bombed back in the 1950s or something like that?
I haven't found anything like that. I'd say the biggest surprises that I've seen so far that I can definitely document that isn't an accident of somebody mistyping something. Iwo Jima I've got 24 pages of data on Iwo Jima bombed by B-24s. And I look forward to seeing what that looks like, just because I did not realize we were bombing it that heavily.
Wow. Lieutenant Colonel Jens Robertson joins us from WVAS studios in Alabama, talking about his Project Thor, Theater History of Operations report previewed by the Air Force Research Institute last month. Colonel, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.